This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The Trigger! Oh!
Puts it in the air. Aidan Flint wins the goal.
It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw him. Is it going to be there?
Yes!
Oh my
God!
Hello, good evening and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week. My name's Dan Fudge and tonight we're going to try and make sense of the 6-0 drubbing that we took in the hands of the Tractor Boys at Portman Road. Did Danny Roll get it wrong, or were the players to blame, or was it our fault? You know, it could be somebody else's fault. We never know, like, you know what I mean? It could be all sorts happening. Some of you may notice I'm in my new digs this evening. Got moved into that London, into Chiswick, where it's all about artisanal boutique and organic things. You should see it. It's dry robes aplenty. Simon, I'd even argue it's more middle class than yourself.
I've severely doubt that, sir.
Tonight with me, I've got John, Simon and Charlie trying to make sense of it and to see where we're all going with that. Don't forget, we are out live tonight as well, ladies and gents, if you do want to try and get involved. And I don't know what you're going to say or what you can say, but we're going to try and do it right now. Oh, good Lord. I tell you what, the worst thing is about tonight, ladies and gents, is that there's not much other Sheffield Wednesday news. Ergo, we're going to have to spend a good lion's share of this hour talking about that game that was on Saturday. So let's get into it. John, I'm going to come to you first. I'm sorry, actually, Charlie, you joined us quite late. Do you mind giving me a quick mic check so I can hear you?
Hello.
That's lovely stuff. That is absolutely top, toppest of bananas. Now, Charlie, just while I've got you, I'll just come to you in a second. John, Charlie, while I've got you, are you still logged in? Can you see the comment section on the top right of your screen? Is it there? Can you see people?
Yeah.
I want you to play the Ash role when I come to you tonight to sort of. Okay. I want you to be my my comment gal. This evening,
is there a way of putting them up?
Yeah, yeah. Just click comments on the top right there, and then they will all just come in.
I can see them. Do you want me to just read them?
Well, no, I tell you what, then. If you click on the first one this evening, if you just click on it, it might pop up on screen. Does that work?
No, I'm sorry.
All right, no worries. Well, that's a little bit of gremlins in the system that we will work out at some point in the evening. John, I'll come to you first. How's it going? You all right? How was your weekend? Did it get ruined? Oh, bye, Charlie. See you later, babe.
Well, see you, Charlie. She's just off to look up after the comment section.
Go on.
Yeah, I mean, a lot. Actually, no, I did have some expectations about that game. So to see the way that it went really pissed me off, to be honest. I mean, there's losing and then there's that, isn't there? You know, I mean, it's like,
yeah.
Sheffield Wednesday can't even lose normally. You've got to have a tonking nine again, haven't you? It happens to be one every season at some point. So, but I mean, I turned off at 4-0. So I went, you know, it's like the old meme, isn't it? Stop, they're already dead, you know, at 4-0.
Yeah.
Turned it off. And that went out, just consigned it to history.
Well, sorry, excuse me, bit of windy pops. I've just inhaled pizza because, you know, when you just move in somewhere, you don't cook for about a week. So, Charlie, I'm going to come to you on this one. Now, this one's the lineup here. This is probably going to be a huge talking point between the four of us this evening. We've spoken length and depth about any manager that's kind of come into Sheffield Wednesday, talking about whether they play a five at the back with the two wing backs, or do we go with four at the back? If I'm honest, I don't think this was the game to be experimenting with four at the back. But looking at the players that are on the field, that's a strong lineup, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't think we were the only ones saying it. I think everyone on Twitter sort of said the same. It was like, you know, Jesus, we're really going for it. Like, you know, we're really trying to get something from it. But yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? Because in many ways, you don't want to say free hit. But I guess if you're trying to shake things up a little bit, then yeah, maybe not against a game that you expect you might win. But then at the same time, it's like genuinely holding on for a draw was like would have been like a win. So it was maybe a little bit of a gamble. I think the biggest thing was like the proof would have been in the pudding. Like if we'd smashed like an early goal, then everyone would have been like, oh, he's an absolute genius. But as it turned out, we had our pants down six times. So I don't know. It looked great on paper though. I think everyone seemed really positive about it at the beginning. It was a bit like, oh yeah, no, we're really going for it. But then we didn't, did we? So defensively, well, we were lacking somewhat.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Like, I mean, if you look at this lineup here, Simon, right? I mean, there is not one player in that lineup that's not had a decent couple of months under rule, right? There isn't a question mark in terms of the player in their current form, is there?
No, but I'd have to go with, I think what you said earlier is changing a settled squad. And we talked about it last week with Leeds and the change in the formation and the players and the Leeds as well. And I just felt that we played a 4-4-2 against Leicester, I think, in the first half, and it didn't work. And it obviously didn't work this time, did it?
No, it didn't. I mean, I'm just looking at this now. Now, John, I'm just going to keep the graphic up on the screen. For those listening, we've got Budoy, Offrey, Hekwe, Bernard, Johnson. Then the middle, Pervada, Volks, Bannon. And then up front, we've got Masaba, Ugbo and Gassama. Now, there was an interview talking with Marvin Johnson recently, talking about it, you know, when people were talking about his bust up with Munoz, and when people were talking about, you know, where Johnson plays. I think he, in this formation, is the weak link. Now, don't get me wrong, I think Johnson's been an outstanding player, but him by his own admission said, well, hang on a minute, I've got the most assists, and this is where he fell out with Chisco, I've got the most assists last season. I'm great at getting forward. He's great at covering, you know, three quarters of that pitch from where he starts to the byline. Is playing Johnson at fullback too much of an ask?
Yeah, 100%. To be fair, when I pre-match, Rule spoke about we need to look at this game and players need to be brave. So he's obviously got in his mind, we're going to have a go at these. We're not just going to do what we've been doing. We're going to have a go, hence the formation change to four at the back, which backfired horribly. And Johnson was one of the main culprits for it backfiring. He was getting absolutely rinsed down that side time and time again. It looked like he were disinterested at times because I think he was just getting fed up of being hopelessly exposed down that side, and he just couldn't track
back. You know, this isn't me digging Johnson out. I just don't think that was his knitting, and he was up against one of their better players. Don't get me wrong. And like I said, by his own volition, he ain't a defender. He's a wing back and a bloody good one at this level, right? You know what I mean? This isn't me chewing him out. I just feel like what we lost there was also a bit of support in midfield. If I go to the comments here now, you know, we've got a lot of people here talking about, you know,
I can pull a couple up if you want, Dan. I've worked out how to do it.
Oh, thanks, man. I'll put you in charge of that then. So, you know, Sharma's gone with tactics and total lack of midfield from the players. That's, you know, that's another one that, you know, that just sort of says that because we lost those wing backs, it's a bit of an issue in terms of trying to keep possession in the middle of the park. What else have we got, Simon, from the interwebs?
Rule set up.
Yeah, Mr. J's gone with rule set up with what looked more like a 4-2-4, and we got Wallop. Just stick with five at the back. It's simple. It's worked for Rule since he's been with the club, and there's an element there, Charlie, isn't there, of why, you know, did he feel like that this was a free hit and that's why he could tinker with the formation a little bit?
Maybe. It's difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, against a team that perhaps you are less intimidated by, that kind of, like, attacking sort of format makes a lot of sense. But I think it was maybe he thought he knew something we didn't. Like, he'd spotted some incredible genius, like he's in the Matrix, and he's like, no, actually, this is this thing with Ipswich where specifically this is genius and this is going to work. And it was like, it was both a gamble and there was no plan B. There was barely a plan A, but there was no, it was like once it became very, very clear that it wasn't working, it was like, oh my God, like it was just, and then they played it like a training session, Ipswich, like it was unbelievable, like no one was where they were meant to be. And I think, I don't know, whether he thought, yeah, I expect us to get battered, so I'm going to try this out, I don't know. To leave us open defensively for a game where a point would have been an unreal, like a point on the road against like what we were at the time third in the table is like, at this stage for us is huge. And I think now looking back, I don't think it was brave. I think it was stupid. And I think, you know, like Rule's not made that many glaring errors so far in the season, but I think you would have to be like, it really, really left us exposed. And it really, you know, they're, of course, they're a better team than us, but are they so much a better team than us that it was 6-0? Like, did we gift them at least three of them just by having absolutely no versatility in that plan whatsoever?
You know what it reminded me of, Dan? You know, like, so, you know, Rocky 2. And like still, Rocky wins by a narrow margin in Rocky 2. So it's Ipswich or Rocky, and we're like Apollo Creed. And then we go and come to play him again, and it's Rocky 3, and Ipswich is Rocky, and we're Club of Lang, and we get absolutely, well, other way around, we get absolutely hammered. It's like, what's happening here? You know what I mean? 12 months ago, we played these, and they shaded it by one goal. And then we come back. It's like Rocky 3. What's going on? You get absolutely hammered. They throw it. We get Mickey's throw it toweling in corner and lot, and everybody's like, "What the heck's going on here? Who's this? Wednesday, what are you doing?
What an analogy! That's amazing. You know, it's annoyed me that I've actually got it because it means I'm old enough to remember Rocky 2 coming out and 3 because I pitted a fool that don't remember Rocky 3. Is that the one that starts with Hulk Hogan doing the wrestler, which is actually weird because when that movie came out, you know, the wrestler against the boxer, we're all like, that's ridiculous. That's what happened. And AJ was literally in a fight like that at the weekend, just gone. Like, you know what I mean? He's literally taking part in real life. What else have we got, Simon? What else have we got? I'll let you read them out, Pop.
Sharman, Baz and Will were danced around, clearly needed an extra body in there. I mean, I think Baz's injury was probably something to do with his neck because he was just constantly watching the ball go over the top of him or past him. What's this one here? This one here. German Owl. Role came Sheffield Wednesday because he's confident they can turn us around and win every game. The blind confidence is why we got him.
I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that. Now,
Dom
Housen did a really good article, actually. Or was it yesterday or today, where he said, look, Rule's a young manager. He's going to make some mistakes. And I feel like there was a couple of mistakes. There was a glaring mistake in terms of how we lined up against a team that, like Charlie says, we could have done with at least one point. You know, if we'd have turned up and played 6-4-0, I wouldn't have minded. I'd have been like, well, it is what it is, and we could, you know, we need that. The goal difference has taken a bit of a battering. What else have we got, Si?
Well, that is the thing there, isn't it? It's the goal difference. I think what we got here, naivety from Danny has echoes of the heads dropping from Saints away. Points difference is looking like a point less for us. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely right in regards to the goal difference, isn't it? That our goal difference was bloody awful beforehand. But, you know, it's even worse now. There's no chance of us ever dragging that back now, is there?
Yeah. I mean, we were kind of like, I don't think our goal difference, I think we can already write that off. And Ipswich were like, yeah you can. Yeah. 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 Just so you know, yeah.
Marek, Marek's put their goal difference was already buggered.
it was naivety on our behalf, thinking we might have clawed a bit of that. Like, you know what I mean? And I think Harper at the bottom there has just said exactly the same, hasn't he? He's just gone with the, what is it? Forget the goal difference, we just need a win game. And Harpo's gone with forget the goal difference, it's gone. It's the same, you know what I mean? It just is where it is. So, right, you're going to have to remind me here, John. What was the first goal? They've all merged into one shit goal mind.
What were they? Hutchinson?
Hutchinson.
Bannon did a bit of a... Yeah, Volks kind of missed his player. Bannon did a bit of a half-assed challenge, didn't he? And
Bottom right-hand corner.
Beadle went the right way, but kind of, despite the fact that he's 7'10", he kind of flomped to the side a bit and it went about a yard past.
Yeah, weird angle. A tidy little goal on there, Bioff. You know, I can't, you know, if you want to pick holes in it, you kind of like, well, Volts kind of let the geezer run off his own. Bannon's tackle was pretty piss poor, but they were in. You know what I mean? They were just in. I can't really go. But the one I've got issue with the most is the second goal, John. The one from this cross that was just like pinball bollocks going in. Like, what was that, man?
That was the most annoying goal of the entire contest, because it's, again, another set-piece goal that we've conceded. And it's like they keep asking Dan, are you going to get a set-piece coaching? Well, I don't know. I'll have to speak to the chairman. Like, it's like, for God's sake, get someone in. Bring somebody out of retirement and get them down there and get them.
I love the idea that Danny Rowland, in my mind now, because of that accent that you just did, is now Broad Yorkshire. Danny Roll, we'll get some piece coaching like.
Danny Breadcake, as he'd be.
Danny Ginnell. But there were an incident in that box. I don't know if any of you guys caught sight of it, but I don't know if it were Kiefer Moore. He proper got his hands on the shoulders of Bernard, like, and he's up in air. They're using him as leverage to win the header, which then drops down, and then they score from the rebound. Still should have cleared it, don't get me wrong, but I can't believe that didn't get called. He was proper all over Bernard there, but we should have still been savvy enough to clear that ball, not just stand there looking at it. And then they just popped it in, didn't it? And we're just like, that's just a typical really poor goal that we've conceded again from a set piece, and we're just not at the races all day. We're just men against boys, aren't it?
Charlie, would you agree that goal there, specifically for me, that was the head dropper? That was the one where we've kind of gone...
1,000,000%. The first goal was class, and it was one of those where it was like, all right, yeah, like you said, people could have done better, but ultimately it was like fair play. But the second one was where the dream died a little bit, and I think it just... And it's such a shame as well, because like we conceded like 2 against Leicester recently and 2 against Leeds. But they weren't absolute batterings. Like, even against Leeds, like, in the second half, like, it wasn't like, oh, my God, this is the most embarrassing 2-0 defeat ever. But it was, like, suddenly after, it was, like, heads totally gone. And it was tragic. Like, it went from, oh, what a shame. Oh, God, maybe we could stay in this. And it just, and I think just the defeat all around, like, you could just see, like, it's like this we said about Johnson, like, he almost looked like he were fed up. But I think everyone just, it became inevitable. And we never looked like we were going to bring anything back. Like, we never looked close to doing anything. It was literally just us playing it out and then them taking it off us and then us chasing them about 8 miles behind while they popped another, you know.
There were that,
it was great sliders down.
Thing, weren't they? 1-0 when Pervader had that shot, didn't he? That was a decent shot at 1-0.
It was really decent. It was a good save, to be fair.
If that goes in, they might get a bit of confidence back that, hang on a sec, you know, we're back in this and that. But fair play, good save. But that after that, though, it was just...
No, I think we had that. And we had
Star Crash TV, weren't it?
I feel like Ugbo had a bit of a chance, half a chance. Like, it wasn't even a shot on target, I don't think. But we had a good little bit of play. And there was a couple of moments, like, really early on, like, first, like, 15 minutes early on. Not even that, probably first, where you were like, oh, okay. And then it was just, like, absolute game over. It really did. And I think... It really is a shame because you've already lost at 2-0. You don't need to rub it in. Like, you don't need to.
Yeah, in it, grow up.
Like, no points and goal difference. Like, you just like, it couldn't have been a worse result when we haven't got battered by other big teams recently.
To be fair, Simon, if you pop that comment up from Steve Wright there, this is from an Ipswich fan. And he has gone there. ITFC fan, great pod, enjoyed the last one, did with Blue Monday. I was moonlighting on the other side. We did say if you come and played attacking football, we may tear you apart. And Yeah.
That's the Ron Seal comment right there.
I think Steve's got it right. I think Danny did set up to try and have a go at them. You know, you've got Pervader, you've got Gassama and Masaba, but alluding to what Charlie said, agreeing entirely, is that, you know, as soon as we went 2-0 down and they looked so clinical that it just deflated the team. And the trouble, I think, with Masaba and Gassama is they're very similar sort of players. And I think they also are confidence players. So if they're scoring, if they're running forward, if they're getting chances, their tails get up. But they're not the sort of players that have to come back and defend or want to come back and defend. And they just then, I think, they sort of spit the dummy out and get a little bit frustrated. Heads go down. Johnson was just having another backside sorted, wasn't he, on that wing? And I think Dom was as well. I think Dom's not a right back. He's not
What's going on there? Where did that come from? All of a sudden, we just chucked Dom out on the right. But like,
well, I think they were going for his pace down the wing, but he was too busy being run at, wasn't he? Yeah, he was too busy, again, having his arse handed on a plate on his side. So,
and again, they were out of position because we've been playing right wing backs for 90% of the season. Then you go, right, here we are. You're full backs now, lads. And we're like, wait, what? We've not been... No, full back, that's what's happening. You know what I mean?
I often just looked like you were doing bleep test, didn't it? All you could see him was just going up and down. It's like, good God.
Yeah, yeah.
You were getting a right working, weren't you?
Yeah, probably got a 10.2. That was my best in 40 years. So we've got, you know, just going to the comments here. we've got... I got the impression you were not quite sure what you were doing or supposed to be doing. That's from Eric. He's dead right. He's dead right. I don't think that's not something we've practiced. That's not something we've trained for in a game winning, in a game scenario. You know what I mean? It's not something we've done. And then KH has gone with Dan Fudge's made of butter, pass it on. And then 330D man, I went with Dan Fudge's made of Lurpak, pass it on. And, you know, because I live in Chiswick now and I'm all middle class and whatnot, Lurpak's like £8 a tub. We're not buggering about, lads. You know what I mean? What else we got, Simon?
Well, Harpo there's put, and I think that sums it up. Not many draws at all under Roll, which I think says a lot about his approach to what he thinks will get us out of trouble. And you know what? That's the complete opposite to our previous manager, forgetting Cisco. Darren Moore loved draws, didn't he? He loved a good draw. Yeah. I mean, that's the first season in League One was we drew too many games. He did like a good draw. So he has got a point there.
Maybe that was his logic as well. Because, I mean, the one, if you can even call it a weak link, but, you know, when we did Hello from the Other Side, Joe Ipswich, the guy was saying, like, actually, Ipswich's one thing is they have conceded quite a lot at home. So, like, maybe there was an element where Danny was like, that will be kind of the way forward. But it wasn't. But also, like, I think it's the first time we've really looked like bottom of the league, like since Danny took over. Really did look like top of the league playing bottom of the league. It absolutely.
Yeah. Or what you could have done, Charlie, is go on to Ipswich podcasts and go, listen, hey, it's not third against 23rd in the form table, is it? You could have sat there and said that we're well high up on the form table and you lot should be shitting yourself. You could have said that. And then, or you also could have said, you know, everybody wants one. In your head, what you were saying was everybody wants one of these, the sexy option is a young manager. And you could have just ended up getting your words mixed up and saying the term sexy kids. So, you know, you could have done that.
That's true.
Is that your excuse,
mate? I honestly dropped my ass. I was like, you know, because in my head I've gone, well, the sexy option is to get one of these young managers in as opposed to your old guard like Tony Mowbray or your Sean Dyche as a player, you know, or even Neil Warnock is what I thought I said in my head. What I did was what I did say was, you know, you could just go out and get some sexy kids. Steve Wright, who was watching earlier, he'll have heard that, so that's what happened. So right, so like, let's get to the third goal. This is before half time, innit? Oh God, I can't, what was this one? Does anybody know?
Oh God,
was this the one where
that's the crosses,
was it the third
isn't
one
it?
That he saved it crossing. And then he didn't.
It was down the right hand side. They got free of Johnson again. Shock horror.
Yeah.
Went down the right hand side, put a lovely low cross in, and he just kind of tapped it into the far post. And the I can't remember which player theirs was, but that was the 3-0. And that was like bang on half time. And it was like, oh God, you know. Yeah. How'd you raise them for the second half after that?
Yeah, in it, like at 2-0, you could snatch a point in your head at half time. You can give a rousing speech, can't you? But at this point, Chaz, we knew we'd shit out there. We're just thinking, just don't concede any more second half, right? Is that where you were? I think that was it.
Like, if you think about like other teams as well, that like typically what happens is like if you were Ipswich, like you'd be thinking, right, well, we've done the business in the first half, and then what tends to happen is like the people getting battered just go mega defensive. So like you've had a stormer and you've absolutely shit them, and then they've had half time to collect themselves, and then they come back and like they do nothing, but they don't let you do anything more. That's what I was hoping for. I was in my head, I was like, let that just be it, like let us literally just survive long enough. And then maybe would, you know, somehow 3-0 seeming, you know, 3-0, 6-0, they're both bad, but 6 is so much worse, because 6 is more than 3, you know? It's just a fact.
That meme of our expectations were low, but holy fuck.
Literally.
I've overused it this season, so I'm trying not to use it. Last season, I was using the Boo Wendy clip when we were dying on our ass. You know, Danny's just, somebody took well there on the comments, Simon, at the bottom there. Danny's just gone with, we were shit. Yeah. So what else we got, Simon? What else are the people saying?
Well, I think this one here, I still can't believe that Lugango, I think he means Luongo, would be a Premier League player next year. But, you know, and he's also
he was playing with a chip on his shoulder, weren't he?
Followed up with shocked he's still got knees. I think he left at the Middlewood Road.
Is that that we threatened him with some old traveller style justice, or that he had bad knees? What, you know what I mean? Like.
He's been Aussie pillow for them, hasn't he? He's Castlemaine Forex when he was with
us. He definitely had, you know, something to prove against us. Steve Wright says, you won't play us every week. You can still get out of this. Stick together and support your players. We have learned that we can trust the process after a defeat. It's easy to say when you're second in league, isn't it, really?
Yeah, but like, I agree with him, John. Fuck it. We lost 6-0, right? But, I mean, it's not all dead and buried. I mean, the results went our way, didn't they, right?
Yeah.
Far from it. If there's one saving grace about the defeat on Saturday, is that no one else in the league really did any pulling away from us. So as things stand, I think we're still, a point away from getting ourselves out of it. So the best thing the players can do right now is just develop a bit of amnesia and completely forget that game like it never happened. Mm-hmm. Like the hangover when they all woke up and he didn't realise he pulled his tooth out.
Where Chandler embarrasses himself and he just goes, didn't happen. You know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
What about you, Simon? We're not dead and buried, are we?
That was as free as
it was going to get without trying to use his term. It was a free hit.
I'm with Charlie, the 3-0, you think, right, 3-0, okay, I can take that. But when it becomes 6, it's like, look, we're dead already. Just leave us alone. Please can we blow up now, ref? You know. But no, the results went for us. And if you look at some of them, look at good old Rotherham. I mean, apparently they hit the post as well. I mean, that'd have been even better. But, you know, the fact is, and I'm still clinging tightly to it, is we've got to play QPR, we've got to play Stoke, we've got to play Blackburn. And if you look at the form table, other than the last two games, Swansea, if you look at the form table, other than our last two games, our form is far, far better than theirs. You know, I'm a little worried about West Brom, Norwich, but that the rest, if we can take points off them, Swansea on Good Friday, Borough will be difficult on Easter Monday. But, you know, if we can just keep on the coattails, anything can happen. You know, we only have to beat those three that I've said, and we're out of it. We're out of it. We're done.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all in our hands. Now, there is John here, we've had somebody calling you out, mate, which I don't disagree with. I like a healthy conversation there. Sorry, John, I disagree. They should all be made to watch that whole 90 minutes of that match and learn, Delhi included. Now, it's gone for some old Victorian style punishment. You know, like when you find somebody, you know, find a teenager with a packet of fags in his coat, and then you make him sit there and smoke them all. Smoke all them fags. I'm all right with anything, you know what I mean? Like, just, as long as you get 3 points the following game, I don't really give a toss. But I kind of enjoy that I enjoy with. If you put that first one up from Dan as well, Simon.
I was just about to say, have you been actually texting into the show, Dan?
I was going to say, I feel this is someone who knows me and someone stitching me up here. I think it says, hiya, chaps. Will Dawson return to goal or will Rule stick with Beadle? Taking him out now could damage his confidence, possibly. Charlie, discuss. I'm leaving that potato well alone.
Listen, it's if we'd have been conceding six to Rotherham, you'd be like, maybe there's a problem with our goalkeeping. But I felt like potentially Beadle was not so much at fault for the first goal. That's harsh. But I think he could have done a lot better with the first goal. But then outside of that, it was like, really, by the time it's come to him, you know, it really was like, they were in the back of the net already kind of thing. Like, I don't see what we saw from Dawson earlier in the season that would have necessarily suggested that he would bring in anything now at this stage. And I totally agree. Like, I think Beadle he's put a decent shift in since he's been with us. I don't think a 6-0 loss, as horrible as it was, is as season defining as it could be. Therefore, I don't see how it's Beadle defining as well, if that makes sense. Like, up to this point, we were fairly happy with what he's doing. It almost feels a bit harsh to hold this against him, if we're not also going to hold it against Johnson and everybody and everyone else. I just on that though, about the watching the 90 minutes thing really made me laugh, because like, they did live it.
Like, yeah, they were there. They seen it.
But at the same time, they were like, immersed in the shit. They were on the pitch watching. Yeah,
it's not like us that switched off after the first goal ended in the second half, which I've just not spoken away. About. Honestly, we lost 6-0. Like, you know, you just, after three, you're kind of like, I don't know which ones here. Even if you win like 5-0 as well, you don't remember all the goals, do you? You just kind of go, well. Johnny, where do you say, surely not that people are calling to bring Dawson back and Beadle out, are they?
I can't see that. There was one goal which I could attribute to his error, and that's when he palmed it back into the path of one of their players to make it 4-0. Or it might have even been 5-0. I think it was 4-0. That's when, you know, when normal people press the red button for interactive, I pressed the other red button, which turned your TV off. So
yeah.
That was it for me. But I don't think, Dawson's not going to change anything. He's not as good as Beadle. I'm a bit surprised. I thought my initial thoughts when we got Beadle in was that he was going to be this sweeper keeper that we all love in this modern game, but he's not. His distribution is really poor. It's as poor as Dawson's and Westwood's, for as good as keeper as he was. His distribution weren't great either. So we've not got that from him. He's a young lad. Fault for one goal, but game had gone by then anyway. I don't see a need to change the keeper at this point.
Yeah, a lot of people talk in the comments about there's no way that Beadle should be questioned here. No chance.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
We all know away days are mint, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now with the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. For more information, see mcdonalds.com. See you later. Should be to be dropped. He's averaging a clean sheet every two games. When was the last time Dawson even got a clean sheet? I'm sure he could probably recite that stat for you. And then 4D has gone with Dawson. He's working at Morrison's shelf, stacking at night. So you know, he's a big lad. And bear in mind, I'm not touching this topic. I'm not touching it. And Harpo's gone with goalkeepers, the least of our worries. Now, Simon, surely you'd agree that, you know, I think that where we got it wrong on Saturday the most was the fullbacks. I feel like we've played with wing-backs this entire time and then gone, hey, you know that you've been doing relatively well for the past 4 or 5 months? We're going to do this now. We're going to do something else.
Yeah. Oh, that's where he got it wrong, in my opinion. He got it wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it to play. We've already mentioned have it. Johnson, where he was. I mean, he was just had a torrid time. I think he'll live that. Not never mind watching the 90 minutes back. I think he's probably woken up several times in the night dreaming about. Yeah. The horrid time he had.
This was the team he was linked with as well. So I assume he probably wanted to turn up and all and absolutely show off that, look, here's what you could have won type of thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he was bloody awful as well, in it. I thought he was so poor. I mean, we haven't even got on to the middle of the park in regard to Volks and Bannon. We haven't even spoken about those two.
Let's talk about that, actually, Chaz. So let's talk about the middle of the park. Now, I like the way that Rule uses Bannon. It's the same way that Southgate sets up in midfield as well, where he has an attacking midfielder just a bit more advanced than the other two behind him in Calvin and, you know, Big Fat Calvin and the other lad. Who's the geezer? Plays behind?
Rice.
Is it? Yeah, Rice. Sorry, thank you. So, you know, our Rice and... And Calvin Phillips are usually Volks, Byers, DRB, Momo. You know what I mean? We have two behind Bannon. And what that's done, it gives Barry so much freedom to do the football he's capable of. To all of a sudden have the rug pulled out from under him and some of the comments that Bannon's got online, I think are a bit unfair. What do you reckon?
I agree. I mean, I think it's a bit like we said about Danny as well, is it's like nobody's perfect. Like if we never made errors, we'd be playing in the Prem. It's not, and I think it often frustrates me when Bannon gets pelters for things, because no one said he wasn't above criticism, but it's like people relish in it because we're like so afraid that we might have a gem of a player at any point that it might be hero worshipping someone, that I think people get obsessed with the idea. It's like Johnson's had a shit game and everyone will move on from that. Like everyone will be like, oh, he's been great and now he had a shit one, he'll move on. But when Bannon has a, like, let's be honest, a fairly poor game, everyone's like, this just proves how shit he is. Did it secretly, he's crap all along. And it's like, that's just nonsense. Like, and it's such an unnecessary level of like an intensity to it, like that criticism that he gets. That being said, no, he didn't do anything magical and spectacular on Saturday, but then he wasn't being supported in a formation that has worked so well for him. Mm-hmm. And I think you could see, and above all else, no one cares more to a certain extent on the pitch. Like, you can always see that. Like, you can always see that out of all the players, the one that's taken it to heart the most is him. So, like, when his head goes down, like, you can see that he was still trying to desperately throw himself into it in some way. And he couldn't get through what they were doing. And, you know, if you're not going to play him at his best, you're not going to see his best. You're not going to see that magic that we've, like, got so used to seeing him do. And I think it did worry me, because I thought, does it potentially speak volumes that we are lacking something in midfield against these, you know, these kind of teams, these quite relentless, you know, really direct passing. Like, you know, they play very clever, very direct passes. And our midfield just looked like they did not know how to handle that. That is a little bit of a concern. But then, again, is it Bannon's season defining this 6-0? Like, it's everybody's fault, and it can't possibly be his fault more than anyone else's. So
I think Barry Bannon playing for Sheffield Wednesday has had some losses that hurt him a lot more than what this game was. Now, it's really interesting, actually, in the way the comments, as you were talking there about it, Chaz. So just before that comment there, we had that, you know, the criticism that Bazza gets is just indicative of how great a player he is and has been. And then you've got people like Harpo going on there saying that anytime Bannon is absent, highly noticeable, taken for granted almost at times, and just how much his ball retention matters. But then if you go up, Simon, to Barry there, saying that Barry, the commenter, not Barry himself, just sat there. But Barry Wink said, you know, Bannon well past his best, and then goes on to say that the corners don't beat the first defender.
That is true.
So, you know, Steve's gone with the worry that Bannon is, if we go down, he will think he has another season in him for us. It's time to move on. So, you know, it's a hot topic this. I mean, Sharman has gone with this summer. Danny needs to find out a new asterisk. I think Barry needs help, but also it's not going to last forever. And we do need to start thinking about life after Barry Bannon. And you know, there's been a few games now where Barry's got hooked at half time because Danny wants to change the tactics, or he's took a knock like he did, which I'm sure we'll get to point.
Do you also think, guys, from he's still got that yellow card hanging over his head, hasn't he? He's still, you know, a yellow card from a ban. And I think that runs out maybe after the Swansea game.
Why don't you go and fling himself at somebody on Saturday then?
Well, my thoughts are, though, that since he's been under that shadow, under that cloud, his performances have dropped off because he's not being that terrier-like, running around, throwing tackles in, so on and so forth. The first goal, he half-heartedly tried to tackle, didn't he? And he didn't. And that's when the guy sort of lashed the shot in through the bodies. And I just wonder whether or not he's been told to sort of hold back a little because we can't lose him, you know? I don't know. The thing is, I remember...
You can't play like that, though, can you?
No. I always go back to this criticism of Barry. I always go back to John Sheridan and the season we played 91, so obviously a long old time ago. And I think it might have been Oxford at home, and he missed a penalty. And the cop booed John Sheridan. They booed him. And I remember standing there thinking, "What are you doing?" And he was one of the most talented players we've ever had play for Sheffield Wednesday alongside Chris Waldron, Di Canio, etc. And the cop booed him for missing a penalty. And I've always taken that you don't boo your best players. You don't slag. You can criticise them, but, you know, but nobody's beyond criticism, are they? But no, it's Barry's been a fantastic servant, and he's a great player, and he's allowed one off game because he's human. At the end of the day,
you can tell when he's having one of those types of games, Bannon, because his hair at the back starts coming out, you know, like on Kingpin, the guy who does the bowling on Kingpin, and his hair starts unraveling at the back. He's running around the pitch getting frustrated, and the hair starts coming out. And then he starts like thinking, am I going to fling myself in on this guy and take him out? And it's like that game we just lost. It's just like, get him off. Just get him off.
I tell you what, John, you're just going to start. You're going to be the cornerstone of nicknames across the changing room. You know, if the players are watching this and they'll be like, you know what I mean? What should we call Barry? We're giving him a new nickname. Kingpin is going to be his new nickname for the next few weeks until it is something else. Now, just before I'm just going to, I've got a special guest to come on in just a moment's time. But I just want to talk about the injuries, Charlie. There's a couple of comments here about losing Bannon and Pervader to injury and how serious they are and stuff like that. Have you read anything about it?
I've not seen much on Bannon. I was looking at a couple of bits and bobs about Pervader today. I mean, it doesn't sound great, but I'd seen that he'd pulled out of like international duty, and there was part of me that was like, that's obviously not good because he's obviously too injured to like play international football. But at the same time, part of me was like, yeah, but is, you know, that does give him more healing time. And I think the phrase that was used was something like muscle discomfort or something. It was like a weird, I'm not sure, is that like something? So it was like, it's not like we're getting word of like, he's done this to his this, you know what I mean? Like he's not snapped something or broken something that we're aware of, but it's one of those kind of wishy-washy terms where you're like, that could be anything from a pulled muscle to he's dislocated everything he owns. So I don't know. What he has brought to the team since he came in, to lose that at this stage in the campaign is like, I would actually say controversially that is worse than losing Bannon. Like, I really do think it is. Yeah.
Tell you what, all the hosting you've been doing and all the grief you've been giving me about, fudge out, I'm going to take over your spot, and all you lot have been joining in, and now you're saying needless controversial statements as well. Well, fuck me, Chaz. If you just want the gigs, just ask, like, you know what I mean? Comes with a lot of shit and someone tells you that you made a butter online. Now, anyway, Sheffield Wednesday lost 6-0, cementing our place where we were to start with, although everybody else lost around us. Now, I've got our special guest, the Eggmeister General. It's Ash. He's come to join us on the... on the stage. Yay. Oh, I put Chaz in the middle there. Ash has decided he wants to come and join us because. How did you feel on Saturday, Ash? How was your take on the game?
Oh, it's great, weren't it? Absolutely fantastic, weren't it? I mean, it was just I wasn't that confident going into it, but I don't think anyone saw 6-0, and anyone who did, look at that, hey, the comments, great already. I didn't see it. I don't think anyone saw 6-0 incoming, does it? I know our goal difference is not the best anyway, so, but yeah, it's even minus 6 more into it, so there we go.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ashley, you've got something special you want to talk about. Did you talk about the egg drop last week? By the way, when you were in the chair, did you manage to suck your own dick about that?
Jesus, what?
Because you should have done. He's done a right job. I'd be at the hospital getting ribs removed in order to pull it off.
Come at my gig. put it all over social media that we got 659, I think, plus there were some stragglers. So 659 eggs was donated by all Wednesday fans, and yeah, it was great. It was well done to all of you.
Yeah. So, do you want to tell the chaps why you've come on here?
Yes.
I tell you what it is, folks. You want to talk about something nice after the football that happened, so or something else as it goes. But go on, Ash. Floor's yours, mate.
What we said was anyone who donated an egg would be put into a hat for a draw to win either a home or away shirt. So here is that hat.
Oh shit!
courtesy of Liam Palmer. Look. So everyone, best wishes from Liam Palmer.
Hang on. Let me rewind that here. So you've got a Sheffield Wednesday bucket hat that's been signed by Liam Palmer, and you've actually printed out everybody's name that's donated an egg, which is nearly 700, and you put it on a little piece of paper.
No. Dan, if you were there, you'd know this. You know,
he was there. He just doesn't remember.
He doesn't. Yeah. So everyone who donated wrote the name down on a slip of paper and the number and everything, and they're all in here. Look, everyone who's donated. Well. Also, people who donated from far away who couldn't come put their names down. So in here is all everyone's name. So they're all there. Look, I'm not jesting. And the first prize is obviously a home or away shirt, whichever you choose. We've also got two other prizes as well. So
bonus prizes.
Yeah. The second prize is there is two tickets for an evening with Carlton Palmer and Ron Atkinson.
Oof.
That's been lovely, nice. Kindly donated by one of our listeners. So I know that wasn't original. So if your name does get pulled out and I contact you and it's not for you, then just let us know, you know. And then the third prize, which some could say is the star prize, is a £30 voucher to the Wednesday Week's own tat shop. It will probably get you a pen because it is bloody expensive. But, you know.
My garage, man.
So... Yeah, there we go. So, anyone, shall I Rod Stewart it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna need a Rod Stewart impression from you.
Right, here we go. This is
for first prize, yes? Yeah. This is for the shirt.
I'll get a good...
This one's for the shirt. He's reaching in the bag now. He's just about to open the paper. Here he goes.
Got to be careful as well, because the phone number's on as well. So, you know, he's
don't read the number out. Don't read the number out.
Right. So the winner is Zach Stevens.
Congratulations. Zach
Stevens is the winner of a home or away shirt, and he didn't put a home or away or his shirt size. So I will get in touch with him. His number's there. So congratulations,
Zach. You've got our top prize. So I'm going to put my, And that was Shelby's voice. That was the draw for the first prize of the Egg Drop 2024. I said 2024 because people are wanting to do it again. Ash is reaching his hand into the hat.
Doing it again? You're having a laugh, aren't you?
We're using the... This week we're using the Guinevere hat. And
What set of balls, Dan? What set of balls are we on, Dan?
Cold ones.
2.4 double ply paper for the shirt, and he's opened up the piece of paper. And Ash, the second prize, an evening with Carlton and Ron Atkinson, goes to.
It's not just that person on call. It is. It's a room that doing it.
It's
not
Hillary
that real.
Lappins. Hillary Lappins.
Hillary, congratulations to you. Sure you just won yourself an evening with Carl Palmer and Ron Atkinson. Now, just to reiterate, there will be other people in that room, and it's not just the three of you in a hot tub. Is that two tickets, Ash? Yes,
two tickets.
That's two tickets for Hillary, so a guest of your choice can also join in the hot tub.
Right, and okay. the wooden spoon of the...
otherwise known as the Welsh prize, the third prize here, go for it, Ash.
Goes to a Heather Wellings.
Oh, so a couple of Heather ladies Wellings. On the winners. Heather Wellings also winning the third prize. I've forgotten what that is, so can somebody rescue me out of Slack Alley? Yes.
£30 voucher at the tat shop, so basically it'll get you a T-shirt probably and maybe something else, sticker. So there we go. So,
hang on a minute. We have a sale coming up on the 21st of this month. So if you want your money to go a little bit further, 21st of this month, you've got 30 quid to spend in the tat shop. Some would refer to it as like a trolley dash, but online.
So, thank you very much, everyone that donated. As you've all seen, our social medias has gone down a tree. And we did have some feedback today from PACT, which was one of the charities. And they're giving the eggs out to the kids on the wards already. So they've got an early Easter present for the kids.
Amazing.
So,
wow.
Fantastic, everyone that donated. We'll probably do it again next year.
Oh, Ash, can you go through that? I mean, the stress that you've gone through the last couple of weeks, can you put yourself through that?
Yes, mate. Yeah. Of course
you can. Oh, God.
Only a bit of chocolate, isn't it?
But listen, house.
Ash, while you've been on, KH has gone with what about a sparring match with Dave Pond? We're talking about hot tubs and Smashing Tone went with two tickets to Paradise. And, Sharma did say, well done, everybody. And as did Mad Ward, well done, great stuff. And also, well done from Smashing Tom again. Ash, listen, you've done a great job there, mate. You can now sleep at night. Have you managed to move? I don't know if any of you guys saw online. Ash had to move his two-seater settee out of his living room to make room for all the eggs. And as an added bonus, his missus wasn't allowed to put the heating on in the living room in case it melted. So he's well happy. You've done really well there, Ash.
Not yet. The last is tomorrow, so going to drop off the rest of the eggs at the Children's Hospital tomorrow afternoon. So
you're an absolute star.
And then that'll be it done. And if my kids ask for an Easter egg, then they're not going to. Anyway, I'll let you crack on. All right.
Cheers, Ash.
See you later, everyone.
Good,
see you later, Paul.
See you later, Ash.
Au revoir. So right then, so that was the Ashmaster General talking about where we are with everything that's going on. Like I said before, we do have a tat shop sale on the 21st to the 25th. That's happening. All the link are in bio. Right then, let's get back to it. We've got 10 minutes left. Right then, so we've got more right than wrong. We talked about that. Now, Simon, you wanted to talk about the gulf between top of the league, bottom of the league, Premier League, League One. I mean, where do you sit with that?
Well, obviously, I think it's really hit home after the match because a year ago and a month probably, we played them at Portman Road, Ipswich, and we were 2-0 up. And then we drew them 2-2, I think, Smith.
With VAR.
Yeah. And because they got a penalty, didn't they? Johnson allegedly elbowed somebody and then somebody videoed it and he got banned for a couple of games afterwards. And it was sort of the comments that came out from our manager afterwards about the investment that's gone into Ipswich Town and sort of just highlights the where we are and how far we're falling behind in regards to any sort of chance to sort of be competitive in this league. Someone said about us yo-yoing between the Championship and League One. I hope we don't become a team like that. But, you know, it just points out, and I don't think what I was trying to point out is it's not just Chancery. Unfortunately, it goes way, way further back than that to the Dave Allen days when Dave Allen was trying to sell the training ground and the council rejected planning permission for Tesco to build there. And then it's gone into... obviously, the days that followed that with lack of investment, you know, we were saved, but there was very little done in regards to investment. And then Chancery came in. And he put the scoreboard up and repainted stuff and put us a new pitch, but we've not invested behind the scenes, and it's really sad to see now. And Ipswich Town, you know, what sort of followings do they get? Would you say they're bigger than Sheffield Wednesday? You know, it's just sad. It's just
Your history is, because I bet if I said to, you know, if I asked yourself or John or Ipswich, a bigger club than Sheffield Wednesday, there is an argument for them to be, as given their European endeavours under Bobby Robson and whatnot. But as far as Chas is concerned, they're like, what the bloody hell are Ipswich Town? Like, you know what I mean? Because I remember when Blackpool went up and everybody's like, oh, I can't believe Blackpool are in the big time. I'm like, fucking Blackpool, are you winding me up? Like, I mean, John, where do you sit on it in terms of that goal? Simon brings up a very good point there. You know, this isn't just specifically a Dave Ponchansiri issue. Do I feel he's exasperated it? Yeah, 100%. But do you feel like it's been lingering for the best part of a quarter of a century?
Yeah, for sure. I think once you realise as a club that you can't mix it with the big boys anymore in terms of financial clout, your best next option is to invest in youth and facilities, because if, you know, and we all say it, and every time we talk about youth, I immediately think of Brentford. And they don't have an academy as such, but they do that money ball, don't they, where they bring players in for cheap fees. You know, they might sign somebody for $3 million and they might sell him for like 12, 15 or whatever, as an example, as a rule. But, you know, when we fell out of Premier League, we didn't have any parachute payment money. And, you know, despite selling season tickets with the slogan of return ticket to the Premier League, it didn't happen, did it? You know, that was gaff, weren't it, by the way? But so you've got to realise that you haven't got that spending power. And Chancery came in and he spent a bit to start with, but we missed out. But I think it's clear now he hasn't got the money that he did have, or he's certainly unwilling to spend it like he did. So I think the best way forward is to just build up stock of assets and young players. I mean, get better facilities. I mean, Middlewood Road's very dated, isn't it, really, to be honest, for a professional football club.
There was a survey conducted on Middlewood Road by a friend of a friend who did some work with Arsenal back in the Wenger years, actually. And they were talking, do you remember Arsenal were having a really torrid time with injuries? So they got in an external expert, the friend of my pal, and he kind of sat down with him and said, look, you know, this is an issue. If you don't do anything about the firmness of this ground, the problems that, you know, you're going to have a real severe issue with injuries. And a couple of years ago, about 5-6 years ago now, he also did Middlewood Road. And that was the same season where we had a starting 11 out and ended up costing Carlos his job at some point, and then we went into the Lukai years and all that sort of shit. Now, Simon, there's been a few comments online there, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Steve has put it's dated and also it's not fit for purpose. You know, I think he's alluding to the training ground there. You know, and one thing we were talking about off air was that Sheffield United's ground was, it's lost its top rating in regards to its academy. So what they're doing is Shirecliffe, they can't build anything more at Shirecliffe for where it is. So they've actually built the old Midland Bank sports ground out near Door, and they're going to develop that. So they've seen that there's a problem and they've bought some ground elsewhere and they're going to develop a training ground there. We've been stuck at Middlewood Road now. I'm 53 years old. We've been there for 53 years. You know, in my lifetime, we've been there way before. Football has moved on. Football's moved on, and it's and we're not. And it's not rocket science. Wow, so it's since 1980. So I don't know where they were before. So
have we still got that Mad Max Thunderdome there as well that is training?
I genuinely think there was a rumor the other week that it was punctured and they couldn't blow it up, but that might sound like an online schmoosh. You know what I mean? But listen, coming up next, we've got Swansea, but that's not for a while, is it? That's not next
international
week.
International break, yeah.
Not next week after. That's
is
that.
It, is so, it Good Friday then? Is yeah, Good Friday the next game?
Yeah.
God, that is a. I mean, that. From an injury perspective, I don't want to jinx.
Not too shabby,
it,
is
like,
it, with Paz and Favada?
All the times for that to happen, do you know what I mean? Like, that's not, it's not, with him also then not going now, you're a bit like, I don't know. Like, if I'm allowed to dream, I choose to dream. I'm going to
Everybody's reminding me. It's a week on Friday. You know, Good Friday. Yeah. So we're not gonna do the predictions this week. But someone did ask earlier on, what are your predictions on staying up? So, you know what I mean. Where do you think we stand? So we'll predict the Swansea game next week. But we've got a couple of minutes left. What about predictions on survival, John?
Personally, I think we're going to take it to the last day, and I'm all right with that because you're still in with a shout, aren't you? So we're going to take it to the last day, which is going to be horrible as a fan to be watching, keeping one eye on your own game and eyes on other result, another eye on other results, should I say. So considering, it just shows you, doesn't it, how much damage that 10 games under Cisco did, how damaging that were for us as a club, and how we've been trying to claw our way by ever since and still not out of it. We win, other teams win. We lose, fortunately, other teams lose, but we just can't seem to get his head above the parapet, can we? But I think we'll take it to the last day. I'm not sure who we've got on the last day, to be honest. I've not looked.
Sunderland away.
Sunderland away.
And we really travel well to that, don't we?
We don't do well there, do we?
I'd rather it be done and dusted with three games. I think we can do it, if I'm honest. But I think it's going to go down to the wire because I think QPR are picking up some stinking points as well. I think it could be down to the last day, but it does. You know, like you said earlier on, it's all in our own hands. What about you, Chaz?
I think if we can get out before the last day, if that makes sense, I think we'll do it. So I think if we pick up the points we need in the next couple of games, in our winnable games, I think the momentum of us getting out the relegation zone, I think the morale, because we were another Rotherham for other teams as well. Like it was kind of like you only had to be not the third shittest team because you know the other two are going down. And I think we're not that now. I think if we end up launching ourselves out of that, I think like the likes of QPR, Stoke and Birmingham, Huddersfield as well to a certain extent, I think like they're having a funny relegation battle.
I think Plymouth needs to look over their shoulder. Plymouth
are
struggling, and I think Blackburn have got the potential to sleepwalk into relegation and go, wait, how did we get here?
I think mentally, us getting out will do everyone else in. I think if we're not out by last game of the season, if it's all coming down to that, I just can't see us getting a result like that with the pressure at that level. I just can't see it happening. I'd like to be wrong. I'd like us to have another miracle, the miracle at Sunderland. But Dan will love that. Loves a miracle.
Love a miracle.
I'd rather we had an Easter miracle instead, because that'll be much more relaxing.
I've already got the meme in my head. Of like one sort of representative of Sheffield Wednesday, whether it be Chancery or Barry Bannon coming out of that rock, going, I'm back. You know, if we win on Good Friday and at Easter, I'll be like coming out, he has risen. And then at the end of the season, get rinsed out by all the other teams that have beat us when we inevitably get relegated. You know what I mean? Yeah. This meme game, you've got to keep on top of, because if you don't, you will get chewed alive. I mean, Stevie was getting grief on a tweet he put up for like a year ago or something. Oh, wasn't he,
like 12 months back. I mean, it was digging
Ipswich fans, though, they are obsessed for some reason.
Yeah, they're having a good time. We're just shit on their shoe. I don't know why they're bothering. What about you then, Simon? And get some comments up as well while you're...
I agree. I think there was one here, was it 4 wins from 8? I think that we need to, as I said, I keep alluding to it, we need to beat those guys around us. So your Blackburns, your Swansea's, QPR, we've got to play them. And I don't want to go into last game of season. I am going to that last game. And the last time I was there was when we got absolutely hammered by them between Christmas and New Year a few years ago. Yay!
Sick. But,
yeah.
I don't think we've ever won at Stadium Alight, have we?
I don't know. So we don't want to be going there hoping for a point, do we really? I don't want that Christmas game again.
It's tight, though, isn't it? So we'll see.
Tell you what, though, big fan of that. Mad Ward going on telling the last day thriller to stay up. Bosh. Big fan. Listen, folks, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks a lot for joining us this evening. You've been an absolute dream and I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot for your Easter eggs and your donations as well. There's also something else that I want to talk about. If you look on our socials, Ash has posted up a link to a survey. And if you don't mind filling that out, it just helps us keep this podcast going. It doesn't cost, though. We're not asking for any money because we've asked you for so much over recent times. You know, we're going to leave you alone for a bit. But if you just don't mind filling this survey out on what your expectations are from a show such as this and what you like us doing, then that would be sick. In the meantime, thanks a lot for joining us. And Charlie, I'll let you say it.
What am I saying?
Just give it the see you later or however you want to sign off, babe.
See you later. Bye.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And puts it in the air. Aidan Flynn works it out. It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw him. Is it going to be there? Yeah. Yes! Oh my God!
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Back of the net, Lubosch. Automate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.